Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer. I write a lot. No, seriously, when it comes to things like notes, thoughts, documentation, archiving, and just general writing, I probably put out something like 20 to 30 pages of text every week. If we start figuring in the amount of code that I write as part of my job, then that page count goes up even more. I'm an author, or at least an author of the self-published variety. I've written 2 books, and I'm working on books 3 and 4. The thing is, I move around quite a bit. I'm a homebody in a lot of ways, but quite frankly, much of what I need is within easy traveling distance of my house. However, I work 40 miles, or 64 kilometers, from home. At least that's where my office is. However, my office is just a location on the planet. As a web content manager, web librarian, and just generally a web guy, I can work anywhere on this globe so long as I have an internet connection and access to my library's VPN. The same goes for my personal writing. I can write in my office at home, I can write at a coffee shop in Phoenix, I can write in a pub in Dublin or a cafe in Oslo. Have iPad, will travel. So, what I need for my professional writing, for my personal writing, for my occupational writing, and for my entertainment writing, is a solution that allows me to write anywhere and everywhere. I need something that lets me write on the go and at home, and it'd be great if I could pick up any device from tablet to laptop and keep going. There are a lot of solutions for this, my friends, but let me tell you about Evernote. This is Cyberpunk Librarian, episode 23, Evernote Everything. My name is Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood cyberpunk librarian, and hey, welcome back to the show that is all about exploring the intersections of libraries and technology, and is devoted to helping you live that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. So, as you may have picked up, we're going to talk about Evernote, and I bet some of you are thinking, Evernote? Why don't we just talk about Notepad while we're at it? Everyone knows about Evernote by now. Well, I have 2 responses to that, and the first one is that you'd probably be surprised how many people don't know about Evernote. The second is, we're not just going to talk about Evernote, of course not. We're going to talk about how to really use Evernote. I find myself falling back on tool analogies fairly often, but I think that's because almost everyone can understand basic tools. Any person who's done a little home improvement can tell you that, in a pinch, almost anything functions as a hammer. So forgive me, but here comes a tool analogy to describe what I mean by really using Evernote. You can take notes in Evernote, sure. You can also cut logs with a chainsaw. But if you've ever been to festivals in mountain towns where there's a lot of forest around, you'll see people who can create sculptures and works of art using a chainsaw and a log. You see, it's all in how you use the tool. You can certainly take simple notes in Evernote. Or it can become your all-in-one, cross-platform, totally available anywhere system of collecting and organizing information. Ah, now I think I have the attention of the librarians in the audience. And if you don't happen to be a librarian, hey, that's fine. Maybe you're just a person who could use a little organization in the informational arena. Either way, I think you should take a fresh look at Evernote, even if you're already using it. I'm not going to be pretentious and say that the way I use it is better than your way. There's no such thing, because the way you use your tools and services should be the way that works best for you, and not for some schmuck on the other side of the podcast. Still, I might bring you a few tips and tricks, because I use Evernote in a different way than most people do. I use it to organize my work, sure. But I also use it to write notes for books, to write notes about books. I write the books themselves in Evernote. I use it to write this podcast. I make lists of everything. I guess you could just make it easy and say, I use Evernote for everything. Maybe you're new to Evernote, or maybe you've used it for years. Either way, let's compare notes on notes, and maybe you'll pick up something new. So I want to talk about three base functions that Evernote does for me, and we'll build from there. Now, I want to stress, this is just me. You might have more things to do with Evernote, or fewer. But I bet we'll have some overlap here and there, and it'll work itself out as we go along. You could say I use Evernote for three basic things. One, information organization and collection. Two, information distribution. And three, creation. Peeling back the layers and looking right at the core, this is my Evernote. So let's dig in a bit and have a look at some of the ways that those base functions become meaningful, or at least meaningful to me. Information collection is just something I do. I read interesting articles with interesting facts and interesting points of view with interesting links, and anything that I want to remember gets put into Evernote. From a personal standpoint, this could mean an article in a magazine or a blog post online. Either way, it's pretty easy to get that information into my Evernote system, no matter what the origin. If you're going to use Evernote, you need to get the web clipper for the browsers of your choice. The Evernote web clipper is a simple plugin for the major browsers that makes it easy to get information off a website and into your notebooks. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, which you can pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. If I'm reading a paper magazine or something, I have a couple of options. I can take a picture of the article or the page or paragraph of interest and send that up to Evernote. If it's just a quick thought, maybe there's a couple sentences in there that are particularly meaningful to me and I want to use those later on or at least remember them, I can just jot that down on my phone or tablet. That brings me to the real utility of Evernote. It works everywhere. As a web guy, I use everything. I carry an Android phone and an iPad. I use a MacBook and a Windows 8.1 laptop. I read on a Samsung Galaxy Tab and do server work in Linux. Evernote works everywhere, either via an app or the web. So I can take notes on my iPad, close and sync, and then pick those notes up right on my MacBook when I get back to the desk. I know it's not groundbreaking technology anymore, but that is crucial to my professional and personal workflow. So, that magazine article? I can shoot a picture of it with my Note 3 and save it to Evernote. That web clip? Well, I can select the text and images, you know, the ones that I need, and send that over to Evernote. Because Evernote allows you to create different notebooks for different tasks, I use a collection of notebooks for writing, work, projects, facts and tidbits, links, anything else. The best thing to do is just to look at my Evernote system. I have a notebook for work. I have a notebook for each writing project I'm working on, from blogs to books. I have a notebook specifically for this podcast. I have a notebook that is nothing more than cool links I need to check out later on. There's the notebook of lists, because if you're into lists, Evernote is amazing. I have lists of music that I need to listen to, books I want to read, software I want to try, and so on. So the nitty-gritty is this. When it comes to information collection and organization, create a notebook for each major thing. You get to decide if it's a major thing or not. If there are multiple facets to that major thing, you can create what's called a stack of notebooks that organize all of those facets under a single banner. Oh, and from there, tag everything. Oh yes, tags. If you're using the free version of Evernote, you can search within your notes for text and the like. If you're paying for the premium version, you can also search within attachments like Word docs and PDFs. No matter whether you're using the free or premium version, you get tags. Tags are more than just an organizational tool. They're a recovery method, a memory method as well. 2 months ago, you took a photo of a wiring diagram and shared it to Evernote. It's a photo, not text. So searching for it might be an issue, except that you remember to tag that photo as wiring, diagram, and audio mixer. You're setting up that mixer again and don't quite remember what was plugged in where, but a quick search for audio mixer and hey, there you go. Even though I organize things by notebooks, I will typically tag the note with the name of that notebook too. That way I know I can find it one way or another. And for those times when you need the information now, it's nice to have multiple methods to quickly find the things you needed. You don't have to be completely obsessed with tagging everything with every minute taxonomy you can imagine. But if you think a given tag will help you find that note 2 days, 2 months, even 2 years from now, tag it. So that's kind of the how I do Evernote bit. I agree there's not a lot of groundbreaking stuff there. But the organization and collection of information is the foundation, if you will, of the rest of what I do. Because Evernote, to me, is more than information collection and organization. It's a method of personal and professional creation. And it's a method of transparency in my work.
We are the future.
Creativity is, quite literally, my life. I create web pages and websites for a living. I write and draw and compose music, and it's hard to keep all of that straight sometimes. Obviously, Evernote helps me with that, but it also provides an easily updated, online accessible window of transparency into my job. On the creative side, Evernote is particularly good for writing. Well, that's not a big shock, right? That's kind of what it's for, certainly. But I've written books in Evernote. If you Google around for a bit, you'll see a lot of writers, journalists, novelists, essayists, and so on, who talk about how they start writing in something simple. Not all writers do this, of course, but more writers than you think will start their work in Notepad or something similar. If that surprises you, then consider that for lots of writers, me included, the first draft of anything is just essentially a data dump. We have an idea, we have a point A and B, we have something to say, so we just dump it out all over the page. Get it out, get it down, because once it's out, then you can edit and clean up and tweak. So while my ebooks essentially finish their creation in a word processor, they started in Evernote. Evernote has a few more bells and whistles than Notepad, not counting the syncing bit. You can bold and italicize and do some simple formatting that, personally, I like to do even with a first draft. None of that is required, though, but if you want to write in plain text, then write in plain text. I typically do a first and second draft in Evernote so I can carry it with me and work on it anywhere. So get that first draft out and then walk away for a bit. Then come back and start going through it. No matter where you're editing, your changes get synced and you can pick up anywhere. Only after my initial set of edits does anything get copied and pasted to a word processor. There's a really cool program out there called Scrivener. Scrivener has been compared to an integrated development environment, or an IDE, for writers, because Scrivener allows you to compile your notes, your pictures, your references, your sources, all of that stuff. You can sort of compile it into one area, draw on it as you write whatever it is you're going to write, be it a novel, a book of nonfiction, an essay, your doctoral dissertation, whatever. Scrivener is great for that. Evernote does almost all of the things that Scrivener does. I mean, it's not a carbon copy, to be sure, but at least for me and for the writing that I do, I have a notebook for each writing project I work on. So in that notebook, I'll have all the different things that I need to do the project that I'm working on. So if I have, you know, my notes, or I have a picture, or I have something like that, it's all right there. I can quickly call on it just by tapping or clicking or whatever it is that I'm working on. So let's talk transparency, which is something that you might not have considered with Evernote. I'm not into secrets, especially when it comes to library work, and especially when it comes to my job. As the web guy, sooner or later, most everything I do will end up online somewhere. Thing is, working in IT, there are a large number of staff who think I make magic with computers. I can't blame them, really. I mean, I write something in a cryptic language, I whirl together media from varieties of sources, and then hammer them together via weird software that they don't normally use, and then it all goes on a web page for everyone to see. Some people have trouble speaking in public. For me, almost everything I do is public. So to try and help staff members and public alike, I use an Evernote to tell people what I'm working on this week. It's a single note that I update every week, at least once, but more if needed. Because you see, one of the great things about Evernote is its ability to share things online. With Evernote, you can create a note that's accessible online just through a web link, just kind of like a web page. If you check the show notes, available at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, you'll see a copy of my current email signature that I'm using at work. You'll quickly notice the link labeled What I'm Working On. Hit that link. Find out what I'm working on this week, at least in a general yet useful way. I'm not 100% specific. Sometimes I can't be specific right now. Certain projects aren't really secrets, but they do have certain times that you release the information and, you know, sort of tease things out depending. But anyone can see that, and I want anyone to see what I'm working on this week. Beyond that, I keep track of what I've done via Evernote. Check those show notes again, and you'll find a link to an article on one of my favorite library blogs, Letters to a Young Librarian. Letters to a Young Librarian is managed, edited, and written by the fantastic Jessica Olin. The article itself is written by Tyler Dzuba, which I may have pronounced wrong, and I'm sorry, Tyler, if I did that. But his article changed my workflow. You can go read the article itself, but the basic thrust is this. You can quickly and easily keep track of what you've done that day using Evernote. Sounds banal, right? Well, there are a few key advantages to the whole idea. One, you can search your notes and find out if and when you did a given task. Did I write that documentation for that project? Let me check. Did I update that software last week? A quick search and I'll know. Another great thing about tracking your progress throughout the day is simply looking back at the list and feeling like you actually did something. It's great for personal morale. You can see it right there, all the stuff you accomplished. Finally, as before, you can share that list and others can see what you've done. That can come in handy during those times when someone asks, "What does this person actually do?" You really want to know? Well, here you go. My method of doing this is simple. I have a notebook called At Work Accomplishments. Each month gets a note in that book, okay? Then I just type the day and date in bold, I hit enter and start a bulleted list, and then we're off. I don't go into any great detail. Sometimes dealt with email is a good enough notation. If it was a particularly important email, then I might list that as its own bullet point. It all depends, and the system is so flexible, it's fluid. Try it. I think you might even surprise yourself with how much you do, even on the days you felt like you didn't accomplish anything. That about wraps up this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I do thank you for tuning in and hope you picked up some ideas for using what might be an old tool. Evernote has been around for a while, I grant you, but there are plenty of people who haven't tried it and those who use it but might not be using it to the fullest of its potential. After all, however you use it is fine, but maybe you can use it better, and I hope I've maybe at least turned you on to some ideas for using it better. The song you're currently digging on is Caught in the Beat by Broke for Free. Earlier in the episode, you heard Airborne by Newton Balloon and We Are the Future by Nearfield. I picked up all of that great music at the Free Music Archive. Yes, freemusicarchive.org, where you can find all kinds of great music in all the kinds of genres. different things, different stuff that you'll never hear on the radio, head on over to freemusicarchive.org, press play on something that you think you might like, and if you don't like that, press play on something else you think you might like. I guarantee you, you'll find something that you'll like to listen to. freemusicarchive.org. As always, the opening track is Billy Dance at Ibisu by Ryo Miyashita, and that also is available at the freemusicarchive.org. Links in the show notes, which you can pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by the great people at archive.org. Preserving the internet, saving the internet, and doing great things, archive.org is one of my favorite websites because there is so much interesting stuff over there. Punch on over to archive.org, check it out, do a little search, see what's available there. There's some great stuff and great podcasts. Better podcasts than this one at archive.org. And hey, just a quick note, I'm going to be speaking at Tech Phoenix this year. Tech Phoenix is a wonderful little sort of social media, new media tech conference held in the Phoenix area. This held in Tempe this year at the University of Advanced Technology on November 15th and 16th. They were silly enough to select me as one of their speakers, but there are going to be a lot of speakers at Tech Phoenix. If you happen to be in the area, check it out, November 15th and 16th. More information at Tech Phoenix. That's TechPhoenix.com. And, hey, the registration is pretty inexpensive to begin with, something like $12. But if you use the promo code ATTENDMYSESSION, that's all one word, ATTENDMYSESSION, and I'll have links to this in the show notes, you get a discount of 50%. So if you want to go but you just don't have 12 bucks, maybe you have six, maybe you have some time on the 15th and 16th to swing by one of the greatest little tech conferences I have ever been to. Tech Phoenix, techphx.com. Check it out, come check me out, and say hi. And that about wraps up this episode. If you want to get a hold of me, you certainly can. I am cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on the Twitters. I am @Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. It's like librarian, but with a B. Drop me a line. Say hi. Say if you got something for a future episode of the show, if you got a question, by all means, just drop me a line, and I promise I will respond back. I'm also available on the Google Pluses as well. You will find me at google.com/plus Daniel Messer. And that is about it. I will see you again in 2 weeks for the next episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. And before I get out of here, just a quick reminder that you don't have to be high tech to be low budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care.